We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can gather before you today to learn more about you and to deepen our relationship with you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word, and we ask that you grant us understanding of the truth. May the words that I bring be acceptable to you, glorify you, and lift your name on high. Amen. You may remember that in previous messages in this series, I presented that God's name is descriptive. God's name is revealed as a gift by his grace, and God's name has authority. In the following sermon, we looked at some of the prominent titles used for God and their meaning. And then in the next one, we looked at how the word Lord is used with different meanings, typically differentiated by the use of capitals in most of the English Bible translations. Sometimes it means Adon or Master, sometimes it means Adonai. And with all caps, it means Yahweh, the most prevalent name used with over 6,500 occurrences. We then went on to talk about the revelation to Moses at the burning bush of God's name, YHWH, spoken as Yahweh, and the meaning of I am who I am from Exodus 3:14. We also spoke about the meaning of God's aseity, that he is sufficient to himself, independent of anything outside himself. When I was preparing for today's message, I thought I would naturally follow on with a message centred around John 8:58, which is where Jesus states to the Jewish leaders that before Abraham, I am. But as I started preparing, I believe I was led to cover a different aspect. So today's message highlights the name given the Son of God, but more importantly, what is revealed by this name and what that means for us. Over the last 2,000 years, more people on the planet Earth have known the name of Jesus than any other name. Since AD 33, over 8 billion, by one estimate, have claimed to be followers of this Jesus. Billions more have heard of his name. Today, the name of Jesus can be found in more than 6,000 languages, and more are being added every year. On the one hand, it's strange that this single name has dominated the past 2,000 years of world history, especially Western history. For most of us, the name Jesus has a sacred ring to it. It sounds holy and divine. But that wasn't the case when Mary and Joseph followed the angel's instructions and gave their baby his name. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Yes, it has a special meaning, but it was not an unusual name. The first century Jewish historian Josephus mentions at least 12 different people he knew with the name Jesus, including four high priests. In Acts 13, we read of the Jewish false prophet, Bar-Jesus. In Colossians 4, Paul mentions one of his fellow workers, Jesus called Justice. And some ancient manuscripts of the Gospel of Matthew refer to the robber released by Pilate as Jesus Barabbas, which can be translated, ironically enough, as Jesus, Son of the Father. Jesus was a common name. But common as the name was, Jesus was named Jesus by design. Yeshua is the Hebrew name, and its English spelling is Joshua. Iesus is the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name, and its English spelling is Jesus. Thus, the names Joshua and Jesus are essentially the same. Both are English pronunciations of the Hebrew and Greek names of our Lord. Joshua is made up of two parts. The Yah, which is short for Yahweh, and you'll remember that from a few months back. And Hoshua, which means salvation. Hence, Mary and Joseph gave their little baby the name Jesus, Yahweh saves. And that he does. Ever since the first Christmas, Jesus has been more than just a name. It's been our only comfort in life and in death, our only hope in a hopeless world. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have life in his name. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There is in fact no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. The reason for this power rests solely in the finished work of the cross. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. But let's be clear, the name of Jesus is not a magic wand. Chanting it does not give one special powers. The power in the name is the person behind the name. More than a great teacher, more than an enlightened man, more than a worker of miracles, more than a source of meaning in life, more than a self-help guru, more than a self-esteem builder, more than a political liberator, more than a caring friend, more than a transformer of cultures, more than a purpose for the purposeless, Jesus is the Saviour of sinners. We sometimes sing, Jesus, the name that charms our fears and bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. And we sang earlier today, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. So what is it that we proclaim when we speak the name of Jesus? God chose to assign his Son a name that represented who he is and what he was coming to earth to do. Because of the blood that was shed for us on Calvary, it is through Jesus that mankind can attain salvation and become a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Greek word for salvation used in this verse is sozo, and this denotes a process of being saved, being healed, delivered, rescued, set free, protected, and becoming completely whole and preserved. Once again, that word is sozo. Look it up. What is it that we are saved from? To state it simply, we are saved from ourselves. We are set free from the sin of our flesh, which has distanced us from the Heavenly Father. We are rescued from the punishment, God's wrath, that we deserve because of this filth. It is only in Jesus' name that we receive salvation and redemption. From our reading earlier in John, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus alone has paved the way to bring us back to the Heavenly Father. This means that we do not attain salvation by our works, nor do we receive this power because we follow a certain denomination or pastor. Rather, it is only in the name of Jesus that we are cleansed, renewed, transformed, and redeemed. It is only in Jesus' name that we have access, a passageway to God the Father. I'd like to pose a couple of questions. First one, do we as Christians have power in the name of Jesus? Let me start with this promise from our reading earlier. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It is only in Jesus' name that darkness has to flee and every chain must be loosened. This is why Christ came to earth after all, to vanquish the sting of death and destruction. This death-defeating power is still at work amongst his followers when we, by faith, decree the name of Jesus. And the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. It is only in Jesus' name that genuine signs and wonders are performed, all for the sake of bringing God the glory and expanding his kingdom on earth. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It is only in Jesus' name that his children receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is only in Jesus' name that we are sanctified. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And it is only in Jesus' name that we inherit the costly gift of eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The next question, why does Jesus' name have power? But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. That's Hebrews 9:11-12. Jesus poured himself out as our blood offering to pay for our eternal salvation, to restore mankind back to the Father, and to grant us access into God's powerful and cleansing presence. When he died, the veil was torn. Thus it is only in Jesus' name that we inherit the gift of salvation. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. And that's Hebrews 9:22-24. I thank God for the finished work of the cross. It is because of that great demonstration of love that we now have this immense privilege of communing with God at any place and any time. Because of this sacrifice, we can trust that Jesus' name alone ushers us into God's presence and empowers us with these precious benefits of our salvation. Not only did Jesus conquer the grave, but it was also through Christ that God breathed this entire world into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. How incredible is it to know that that same power that created life and then defeated death resides within us. There is no higher power and no greater name than Jesus. And there will soon come a day when the entire world will bow to this wonderful name. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's rejoice that we have the true light and life taking residence within us. Let's rise up as those who are covered by the blood of the Lamb, claim our authority in Christ, and release the divine power of his love, the only power strong enough to dispel the evil of this world. So how can we have power in the name of Jesus? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When Jesus uttered the words, "It is finished," on the cross, he was speaking on behalf of us all. Those who have accepted Christ as their Saviour are victorious through the blood of the Lamb. We know that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Therefore, the sting of death and suffering do not have ultimate authority over us. We can use these following five ways to obtain victorious power in the name of Jesus. First, pray in the name of Jesus. Trust that as you place these requests in God's hands, His power will be released in the situation. Revisiting our reading from John 14, which reminds us of the power of our prayers in Jesus' name. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. When facing any form of darkness, speak the name of Jesus. Believe for God's light to pierce through, because Christ is the light of the world, the true light that gives light to everyone. As a child of God, you do not need to remain in darkness because you have a light. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Jesus has already released us from the stronghold of sin and destruction. We are no longer slaves to darkness. Therefore, we do not need to live in bondage, because if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The third way. In Jesus' name, we can finish the kingdom work he began on earth. Matthew 10, 7 to 8 talks about Jesus giving authority. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. When speaking Jesus' name, trust in faith that he is your saviour, deliverer, healer, and redeemer. Remind yourself of the many names and titles of Jesus Christ. Trust that in him you have a good shepherd who will guide you, John 10, 11 to 18. You have a high priest who has made atonement for your sins, Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. You have Emmanuel, who is God with us, Matthew 1, 23. You have a provider of your needs, Philippians 4, 19. You have peace because he himself is our peace, Ephesians 2, 14. And he is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, 6. And the fifth way, speak his name when faced with temptation. Acknowledge that without him you can do nothing, John 15, 5. But in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." When facing temptation, let's follow the principle addressed in Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathise with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. In a previous sermon, I used a video to summarise the message. Today, I'd like to build on the children's talk and the story of the healing of the lame man. And it's summarised by the little song. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palm and asked for an arm. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can you please take up your pew Bibles as we read some of this story, starting in Acts chapter 3, page 1142. We'll start with verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognised him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." By faith, in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. And if you turn now to Acts 4, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. I couldn't say anything to add to that. I just wanted to read it as it was in the context we put it in. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the name of Jesus might offend some, or it might offend many. Three steps I encourage you to pursue. Firstly, let us dedicate ourselves here this day to proclaim life in Jesus' name. Secondly, let us commit to proclaiming that salvation is found in no other name. Let us be faithful in proclaiming that name until the day we die, or until Jesus comes again, whichever event comes first. We read earlier from Paul's letter of encouragement to the persecuted church in Philippi, and I want to reread it now. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You do have a choice. You can confess his name today and receive life, help, healing, and hope. Or you can wait until you're forced to do it on Judgment Day. Sadly, at that point, it's too late. Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, through Jesus, we do have access to you. through your Son Jesus, we have power over the devil. Through your Son Jesus, we can resist temptation. Through your Son Jesus, we can claim salvation. Through your Son Jesus, we do have hope. Father, may we claim that hope, claim the authority, claim the power of your Son Jesus. May we proclaim it boldly. These things we ask in his precious name. Amen. There's only one hymn we can sing now. Thank you, Philip.